all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome into Veterans Radio today, Valdi Garcia. Valdi has a very impressive resume, which we'll talk about, but we have him on today because he's a board member of the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor that has its first class of inductees coming up here in May of 2019, and we want to have our listeners learn more about this. Valdi, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you come to this with a lot of experience, and let's give our listeners a little understanding of your military experience, both in the Army and the National Guard, so that they kind of get the feeling that, hey, this guy's really the real deal.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you that I retired a few years ago after 30 years of service. There are a lot of great Americans who have done their public service, and I feel no different than any other citizen in our country, and that's it's a privilege to have served our country. I served 9 years on active duty, served 9 years in the Army Reserves, and then my last 12 were in the National Guard in Michigan.
And you also provided service to the community through elected office. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was elected to the State House in 1999. And then won a special election to the Michigan State Senate in 2001. So I served in the Michigan legislature from 1999 to 2010 and left due to term limit. So I think that was a good time to leave at that time. Term limits was good for me in that it allowed me the opportunity to serve, and it also gave me the impetus to move on and do something else.
Well, and that something else has you working in the defense industry here in Michigan, correct?
That is correct. I work for a defense contractor trying to support the Army here at the Detroit Arsenal by providing engineering and logistics services through the company that I work for.
Well, over a year ago, you got involved in the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor. Tell us a little bit about what that organization's goals are and why you got involved.
Well, I was asked to participate as a board member because of my background and service. I had participated in a county Veterans Hall of Fame or Hall of Honor. The person who put that together asked me to serve on this board as well. And originally, we called this the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Fame, but we decided that that had too much of a sports connotation. And in reality, it deserves a name, a Hall of Honor, because in reality, we are honoring Michigan's military servicemen and women and public servants who have given a lot of their lives and time and resources to the state and to our country. And so we put together a vision, and that's basically to create a Hall of Honor for Michigan citizens who distinguished themselves either through military service and or public service as a veteran. So for the Hall of Honor, you can be nominated to be inducted into the Hall of Honor either for your military service or having served as a veteran for your public service in some of the capacity after you've left the military.
And I was also sort of surprised to learn that Michigan didn't have such a statewide Hall of Honor. But many other states did during this formative process over the last year. Was that something surprising to you as well?
It was surprising to me, but at the same time, there are about a dozen other states or territories that have similar organizations and halls of honor. And what surprised me is that there weren't more. That's what surprised me. And I was glad to take part in putting something like this together for Michigan because, you know, I have a son who's served. I've served. I have many friends and family members who have served, and I love Michigan. And I think it's a great idea for our young people, all generations, to remember the legacy of those folks who have served our country, either in uniform for their career or in uniform and then in some other capacity after they've left the service.
Well, I think there are 10 current board members on the Michigan Military and Veteran Hall of Honor. They represent all of the services, I believe, and a good mix of men and women and different career, current career approaches. And the president of the Hall of Honor is retired Major General Robert W. Smith III. You serve as the vice president, as you're a retired colonel out of, as you mentioned. We've got a Navy lieutenant commander. So, we've got a good mix of people here, don't you think, Valdi?
Oh, absolutely. It's a good perspective. We have both officers and enlisted. All service branches are represented, as well as all parts of the state are represented as well. So we have a good, broad perspective. So each of the board members brings something to the board, obviously something of value. And we want to make sure that all the branches of the military are covered and that it represents not only the officer branch but the enlisted branches as well, and also geographically, that we provide someone from each corner of the state, and of course diversity in terms of race and male and female. So I think the chairman has done a good job of making sure that we have a variety of perspectives and diversity on the board. And I think that only strengthens us.
Well, I want to tell people what the website is. It doesn't necessarily roll off your tongue, so we'll tell them a couple of times during this interview. And you can find out more about the board or more about the inductees and more about the Hall of Honor by going to www.mimilitaryvethalloofhonor.org. So that's the website address. You can also put that into your favorite search engine and it'll pop up, and sometimes that's an easier way to do it. And now I'd like to, Valdi, with turn to talking about the military inductees and maybe a little more detail. And I think a great place to start is Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Jefferson.
Sure. Colonel Jefferson was one of the Tuskegee Airmen. And he served in World War II, and he was shot down over France in 1944. I guess it was his 19th mission. Became a prisoner of war, and he was held in Poland. Then in that, I want to make sure I pronounce this correctly, Dachau. I think I'm murdering my German there, the German language anyway. And he was freed by General Patton's Third Army. Later that year, or in 1945. So he has obviously distinguished record of service and well known through the fact that he served as a Tuskegee Airman, or served with them in World War II. And then went on to serve in the Air Force for a number of years as well.
And his story has been captured in a book that he wrote, Red Tail Captured, Red Tail Free, Memoirs mm-hmm. of a Tuskegee Airman and POW. Quite famous service, and certainly more than worthy of induction into the Michigan Military and Veteran Hall of Honor this year.
Yes, I agree.
Let's then talk about Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettle.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Kettles was born in Ypsilanti in 1930. He went to what is now Eastern Michigan University. It was known then as Michigan Normal College. I can't imagine the college being named that these days, but that's what it was called back then. He was drafted and completed basic combat training at a place called Camp Breckenridge in Kentucky in 1951. He went on to go to OCS, or Officer Candidate School, and then to the Army Aviation School in 1954. So he served, obviously, during the Vietnam War, and that's where he received his Medal of Honor, or that's when he earned it. And, of course, it was a long time coming. It was 50 years after his actions that day, when he brought in reinforcements and rescued a number of the soldiers there from the 101st Airborne Division who were ambushed in a firefight. But as I mentioned earlier, he passed away earlier this year in January, and so he won't be with us, but someone from his family certainly will be.
And Colonel Kettles, like almost all of these men and women we're talking about, you know, even after they retired from the military, if that was their career choice, they came back home, and Kettles came back home here to Michigan. Colonel Jefferson came back home here to Michigan and became part of the fabric of the state. And in many instances, were pretty humble about what they did, weren't they?
Absolutely. That's kind of a hallmark of many of these heroes. They don't really talk about it. In fact, you wouldn't know about it unless someone brings it to your attention. Colonel Kettles had a dealership in DeWitt, Michigan. I used to represent DeWitt many years ago in the legislature, and I don't ever remember meeting him or hearing about his exploits while I was in the legislature. And I met a lot of veterans throughout my time, because I naturally tend to associate with veterans because we all served, and I was very happy to be around them. But you would not know that he had served, because people like him are very quiet about it. They're very reluctant to talk about it, and very humble individuals.
Well, let's move on to somebody else who I think fits that category, which is Lieutenant Colonel Digger O'Dell. Tell us a little bit about this inductee as a military inductee to the Hall of Honor.
Well, I had the privilege of meeting him a couple of months ago, but I first heard of him back last year, I believe it was, in November, during the Michigan Hall of Heroes Museum fundraising dinner in Novi. And as I did a little bit of research, I saw that he was a pilot, served in Vietnam. He was shot down and became a prisoner of war. And honestly, even though I'm an Army guy, I have a big place in my heart for pilots, especially Air Force fighter pilots. And to have been shot down and served as a prisoner of war for 5.5 years, that's a lot of service and commitment for our country. And I think it speaks well of the character of the man that he survived that treatment, and he survived it with honor as well. So I'm especially thankful, I guess, and appreciative of the fact that he's one of the ones that's being named to the Hall of Honor.
Well, and Digger O'Dell's service has been recognized out at Selfridge Air Force Base. There's a lane or a street named after him, which I think is sort of recognition of his work out there. He also, as a POW, had authored a book about his exploits. And I found it interesting, because we're talking about how these men and women come back and integrate back into the state of Michigan. He's spent time not only as a member of the Selfridge Community Council, but maybe even more importantly, being involved with the Michigan Winter Special Olympics organization. Again, that service that we're called to, that's displayed in this military service, continues on, doesn't it?
It does. And when I met Digger, he had just come the night prior from hosting a huge fundraiser for the Special Olympics. And he was there late into the evening making sure that, you know, everything went right, that they cleaned up and all that. And it's all part of the character of service. And, I think it's something that's ingrained in people who serve in the military to continue to serve. And certainly he has done that and plans to continue to do that. At least from my conversation with him, he plans on doing that for a good while longer.
Well, that brings us to Colonel Jack Lausma of the Marine Corps, maybe one of the most famous naval aviators because he's a NASA astronaut here in the state of Michigan. But tell us a little bit about Jack Lausma.
Well, as you mentioned, he is most generally recognized for being an astronaut. And he was in the Marine Corps, became a naval aviator. He got his wings in 1960 and served with the Marine Corps Air Wings out in Japan. But he was on the Apollo 13 when that famous statement, "Houston, we have a problem." I guess he was the one that made that comment. And obviously they were able to work out that problem because he made it back. And he's also was a pilot for Skylab 3 in later on in 1973. He's just has had a series of distinguished accomplishments, not only in the Marine Corps as a pilot, but also especially so in NASA. I mean, he won the NASA Space Flight Medal, and he's got 1,600 hours in space. That is a long time to be in space. And that's not including his time in jets or other aircraft and helicopters, but 1,600 hours in space is a long time to be away from home.
Yeah, I think the write-up indicates he's got like 7,100 flight hours. When you add everything up, that's just, a crazy record none of us can even comprehend. And obviously a ton of service to the country through all of that effort. Born in Pontiac, went to the University of Michigan, resides, I believe, back in Ann Arbor now, but has kept close ties to Michigan throughout his career and certainly his post-military career. So Jack Lausma is a perfect inductee in this initial class of military members to the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor, which brings us to maybe a lesser-known name but maybe a bigger story, right? Tell us about Dwayne D. Hackney.
Well, he has 28 decorations for valor in combat. And more than 70 awards in service, which makes him the most decorated enlisted man in Air Force history. You know, most of the pilots get most of the attention because they're out there flying over the enemy, engaging the enemy. But in this case, he was one of those guys that went out there and would risk his life to help bring back pilots. And he has, 28 decorations for valor. That's incredible. It just demonstrates the fact that he was willing to put his life on the line to go out and help and protect and bring back his fellow American. And, from everything I know, he couldn't have had any fear to have been able to do that. His helicopter was shot down 5 times in just 2 months in 1966. So he has seen a lot of action and taken a lot of risk. And he did not die in combat, but he died in 1993 at the age of 46. I mean, that's very, very young for someone with his type and degree of service. That's incredible. So as I read about him, I was just very impressed with his service and the fact that he was willing to put his life on the line for others. And many pilots came back that wouldn't have otherwise come back if it had not been for him.
Yeah, he really was sort of a man's man, if you will. You know, before SEAL teams got all the attention, he had completed pararescue specialist school, medical training, scuba training, combat survival school, Army Ranger school, and as you say, he was shot down 5 times in a couple of month period. Flew over 200 missions in Vietnam. Unfortunately, passed away just a couple of years after retirement, if I see the dates right. But quite a story, and one that could easily get lost to history if something like the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor didn't pull it back out of the shadows and made sure that people appreciated this service and held it up as an example.
Absolutely, and that's one of the key reasons why we exist. We want people to remember fellow Michiganders like Dwayne Hackney, you know, and their service. It's one of those things that you would never know about this, as you mentioned earlier, if we didn't bring it up, or very few people would know about it, I should say. The general public wouldn't know about it, and we want to make sure that more people, especially our young people, we pass on the legacy of service to our young people.
Well, another one of those military members from Michigan that we ought to hold up as an example is Margaret Brewer. Tell us a little bit about Brigadier General Margaret Brewer.
Well, it's always been a challenge for women to serve in the military just because they're women. And so they have to have a special brand of courage and fortitude in order to serve in, you know, a very violent, potentially violent career. But she has done it with distinction and much success. She has demonstrated her leadership qualities in a variety of assignments. And the fact that she was from Michigan and served in the Marine Corps, and again, I know I'm an Army guy, but those Marines are very special and tough troops, and she served amongst them and did extremely well and made it to the rank of Brigadier General. I think this speaks for her abilities as a leader and as a, I want to say soldier, but as a Marine, and her sense of service. So I was especially pleased to see that we could recognize her for her service to our country and to our state. So I was very happy to see that we were able to include a woman who has served. Now, there are other women who have served as well, but she was the first one to make it into this special place.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, when you look at her service. If you step back, she's from little old Durand, Michigan. You know, she joined the Marines in 1952 after earning her BS degree in geography at the University of Michigan. It wasn't an easy time for women in 1952 to be in the military, and she committed 28 years of her life till she retired from the Marines in 1980. You know, she achieved the rank of Brigadier General, but a lot of positions along the way through a lot of challenging times and being a trailblazer for women in the Marines. You just have to recognize that level of effort and that level of service, which makes her so qualified to be inducted into the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor. We're talking to Valdi Garcia. He's a board member with the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor. Valdi, this rounds out the inductees, the military inductees that are going into this inaugural class. It's a fascinating group of people who will tend to learn even more about them. They'll get to meet some of them, and they'll get to thank family members of the others. We look forward to another interview talking about the veteran inductees, but this has been a fascinating look at this initial class of military inductees to the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor. And I want to thank you for spending some time today with us on Veterans Radio to inform people about what's going on out there and how they might be able to participate. Can you remind us once again when the ceremony is going to be?
Sure thing, Jim. It's May 17th at 2 o'clock at the Michigan History Museum in Lansing, Michigan. And we hope to see a large crowd there. I agree. Bring children and grandchildren, because they need to know that they're going to be in the presence of real heroes, people who served our community, our state, and our country. And it's going to be an honor to have these folks inducted into the Hall of Honor.
And could you again remind people where they might go to get more information?
Well, in addition to the website that you had mentioned, we also have a Facebook page, but the website is www.mimilitaryvethalloofhonor.org, and that MI Military Vet Hall of Honor is all one word. And then you can go on Facebook and look under Michigan-Military-and-Veterans Hall of Honor for some of these stories that we posted on Facebook to get to know more about these folks. So either way, you can learn more about the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor as well as the upcoming inaugural induction ceremony.
Again, we want to thank you, Valdi Garcia, for spending some time with us today and educating our listeners about this unique opportunity to participate in this inaugural installation of members to the Hall of Honor.
Well, Jim, you're welcome. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to further discussions.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.